Hello. Welcome to this week's edition of the Africa Climate Conversations podcast. This is a weekly podcast aimed at bridging the communication gaps on climate issues in Africa. I'm your host, Sophie Mbogwa. Now, this October, we are building the momentum to COP26, the annual UN climate meeting expected to occur in about 3 weeks between 31st October and 12th of November in Glasgow, Scotland. Now, under the Kyoto Protocol, Africa was recognized for its vulnerability to climate change. But under the Paris Agreement, the continent lost that recognition. The African group of negotiators has been pushing for the continent's most vulnerable and least contributor to climate change to be recognized for its special needs and circumstances. Now, unfortunately, the least developed countries, LDCs, some of the most vulnerable to climate change, opposed the motion during the 25th UN climate change meeting in Madrid, Spain. Now, the interesting thing is that 33 African countries are recognized as LDCs. Today, Kamar Jamwari, an independent climate change consultant and advisor to the African Group of Negotiators on Climate Change, tells us why Africa needs its special needs and circumstances recognized under the Paris Agreement. Please do remember to interact with us via email using info@africaclimateconversations.com. Kamal, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Sophie, for inviting me and giving me this opportunity to try to share some views and understanding about the climate process. My name is Kamal Jamwari. I'm originally from Algeria. Yeah. I'm independent climate change consultant, and I'm also advisor to the African Group of Climate Negotiations.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. To respond to your question on the Africa need for its climate circumstances to be recognized, this is the whole journey we're having in this climate process, starting from the Convention to the Kyoto Protocol to the Paris Agreement. In the Convention and the Kyoto Protocol, Africa's special circumstances were and still fully recognized as vulnerable to climate change. Mm-hmm. However, if you read the Paris Agreement, you find that obviously the Paris Agreement doesn't recognize the Africa climate special circumstances. It recognizes only SIDS and LDCs, least developed countries and small island developing states, vulnerabilities to climate change. Mm-hmm. And this is technically and scientifically a mistake. Let me explain why it's a mistake. Let us imagine that a country which is today an LDC from Africa, the least developed country. And in Africa, we have 33 among 55 African countries that are LDCs.
Sure.
Some of them are now discovering oil and gas, and they are now, and any country in Africa or any LDC all over the world has ambition to develop, to provide a better life for its population, and to graduate from a least developed country to be developing country. Mm-hmm. And this is happening. There is a formal process under the UN, United Nations system, mm-hmm. Where countries graduate from the LDC group to developing country group. And an African country that is today LDC, its climate circumstances are recognized and climate vulnerability. When it becomes a developing country, it will lose the recognition of its climate vulnerabilities and circumstances. And this is humanly, naturally, technically, scientifically impossible. This cannot change in 2 or 3 years that the country become not vulnerable. And if you really refer to our last scientific findings on the climate change consequences, mm-hmm. the consequences and the problems will last for decades. It will not stop. The climate change impact and consequences will continue to hurt everybody all over the world for many years. And how come now the Paris Agreement don't recognize Africa's special circumstances when Africa as a continent is the most vulnerable continent to the climate change, and the climate change impact and consequences have no borders and no limits, no geographical borders. It's something that is really a mistake, and it must be corrected and fixed through the Paris Agreement climate negotiations.
But then, Kamar, it is a mistake. But then what happened? Because African negotiators were present during in Paris. You know, I know that negotiation is a give and take, but then again, someone would probably wonder, why is it that Africans being party to this process agreed to, you know, the fact that we passed the Paris Agreement without that particular crucial recognition that was there from what we were moving out of, that is the Kyoto Protocol.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. African negotiators were there in Paris in 2015, December 2015, for COP21. Okay. And since then, African negotiators at their level and according to their responsibility as negotiators did all what they were and are able to do to get Africa a special climate specific compensation to be recognized. Mm-hmm. However, you know that during any COP or subsidiary body negotiation session, mm-hmm. there is always this last minute pressures and last minute changes and last minute things. And Africa negotiators are still pushing to get this recognized. Now, the issue is that when Africa raised this issue and pushed to get recognized, because if you read Article 4 of the Convention, in particular Article 4, 8, 9, and 10, mm-hmm. you clearly see that the only continent that is recognized and that is in the process is Africa only. Mm-hmm. Now, other continents and other regions are all also asking for the same thing. And yeah. we also see that it's legitimate and it's something that is that also need to be recognized, because now even many developed countries are really vulnerable to climate change impact and consequences. It's not an issue of developing country, least developed country. The climate phenomena and crisis is hurting everyone all over this globe.
In Madrid, when Africa was actually pushing for that recognition, one of the groupings that was really heavily opposed was the least developed states. But you look at African nations, majority of them falls under LDCs, but you find that also it was very much heavily opposing. I know different groupings that negotiate, and probably we should talk about that for people to actually understand. Do you think there's miscommunication, because Africa is pushing for recognition, but then majority of the states that fall under Africa, which are least developed, they were also much against Africa being recognized?
You know, we had this problem not only in Madrid, we had this problem in Katowice, the mm-hmm. COP before in 2018. In 2018, first in Poland, in Katowice, and then in Madrid, the Chilean COP in 2019. Mm-hmm. We had the same problem when Africa was pushing to get in the negotiation the recognition. Mm-hmm. We were surprised that LDCs, the LDCs group, the least developed countries group, did not support Africa on that issue. Uh-huh. And really, it was something that really frustrated many of the African countries. I think that the LDCs in Africa, the LDCs in Africa and other elsewhere, need really to understand the implications of such situation, and this is not something that can be easy to be dealt with. However, the African countries, in particular LDCs, need really to understand the implications and also the situation where, as I was explaining in the beginning of this interview, that today they are LDCs, but if they develop, and I think that politically they have the ambition to develop and graduate, next time they will find themselves as developing country without recognition of their climate circumstances. And if they don't understand this, it's something which is incredible. You know, when you are in the negotiation in very closed rooms and very close negotiations, and you see that Africans from other subgroups don't support Africa concerns, it's something that is really frustrating. And you know, in the LDC group, when it comes to support or not support Africa in that on that issue, the floor is given to non-African LDCs, which means just not to show this is something that you everybody needs to understand. For example, they give the floor to an LDC coming from Asia or any place for any continent, but just to show to see that. To see that, oh, we Africans, we didn't say anything. No, but you are in the LDC group. You need to fight for Africa. It's not an issue that keep quiet, that will allow you to say that, no, we didn't say anything. No, if you are LDC, you need also to support Africa. And Africa is always supporting LDC group. And since Africa is always with those two groups, because it's important. We have 33 African countries that are LDCs. We have African countries that are SIDS, small island developing states. And it's something that is normal, and the climate solidarity needs to be everywhere when it comes to Africa. Africa must stay united, and we don't need and we don't have to divide Africa or just create any divergences in Africa. It's difficult to get a common position, but it's feasible, and Africa has always been very strong and unified under this climate negotiation process.
And I'm wondering whether there's something, probably, you know, lessons from coming from Katowice and Madrid, lessons that probably the African team has learned to probably has there been some reaching out to these 33 African groups that fall within the LDC, so that when this year in Glasgow, the issue is raised again, then we do not have objection, or African groups feel the need to speak out and say, yes, we support this particular motion.
What we did after Katowice, in Madrid, what we did as AGN, as African group, to show you that the African group negotiators are very serious awake, and they work a lot on that issue. What we did, there is an agenda item in the negotiation, which is called LDC Matters.
Okay.
And this is, for each COP, there is a decision that is taken on different LDC issues and matters. And we always, as Africa, support this. What we did in Madrid, we suggested that in this, we suggested to our African LDCs a sentence of two lines saying that in the decision of the LDC matters, we need to have that LDC among the issues that Africa climate special circumstances be recognized, and this need to be in a decision from LDC group matters. And our LDC, unfortunately, our LDC friends and sisters and brothers were not able to at least get one sentence on the decision of LDC matters on Africa climate circumstances. Just to give you a concrete example of what things are being done and how far we are going, just to have Africa climate circumstances be recognized again. Mm-hmm. Now, the other solution for all Africans is to go back to the convention, to use only a multilateral agreement that recognizes Africa. Why are we using a Paris agreement that doesn't recognize Africa's special circumstances when we have the provisions, commitments under the convention, the climate convention, that can recognize Africa's circumstances? Let us go back and use only the agreement that recognizes, the agreement that doesn't recognize us. Why are we continuing to use it or referring to it?
But Kamari, you've already signed up to it and ratified it. 51 African countries have already signed up.
Yes, you cannot ratify. You can ratify. Ratifying it is showing a goodwill from all our African countries that we are ready to participate to the effort to battle climate change. And this is very good at the political level, technical level, negotiation level, or whatever you want. But showing a goodwill, we need to have the counterpart saying that, see, all Africans are fully engaged, are open, are showing the goodwill, How come we cannot fix the mistake not to to recognize African species in Honduras? And you know what? One of the reasons that was given to some of our friends, sisters and brothers in LDCs and CIDs, mm-hmm. be it from Africa or other, they are given the reason that, hey, don't accept the recognition because those developing countries from Africa that are not LDCs will challenge you and challenge you when it comes to access to finance and things mm-hmm. like that, and the amount of money that can go to the LDCs will be shared with the other developing countries. And this is not true. This is not true. If you see the financial mechanism of the convention, if you see the three operating entities of financial mechanisms, the adaptation fund, the global environment facility, the GEF, and the Green Climate Fund, the GCF, you see that most of the funding is allocated to LDCs and CIDs. How come some things can be thought this way? Well, I hope that our politicians and our decision makers in Africa can really move on that issue. And that in the last AMSEN meeting, the African Ministerial Conference on Environment, in the last two decisions, it's clear that all Africans, be it LDCs, developing countries, are instructed from the ministers to move and fight for this Africa Species Mechanism. The last two decisions, they are public on the AMSEN website. The ministers in Africa decided and instructed their negotiators, including LDCs and CIDs from Africa, to fight and get Africa Special Circumstances.
I really wanted to actually expand a little bit further in terms of what repercussions would actually be in terms of if Africa stop recognizing the Paris Agreement, what that would mean. But I think before we briefly discuss that, I just want to really now understand very clearly, why is it important? What does it, if Africa is recognized, recognition is recognized in terms of the position, the vulnerability is actually recognized under the Paris Agreement, what exactly would that mean for Africa? Would it unlock access of finance, access of technology? What exactly would that look for? Why is it that Africa is fighting so heavily to be recognized back? What would it mean for the continent?
First of all, the issue is the recognition is about the fact that exists, the reality we're living in Africa, and that Africa, first, it's not historically responsible of any global warming we're having now and even in the future. The Africa emissions are less than 4% in the world. Now, this recognition is important because it's a fact and it's a reality, and it needs to be reflected in the agreement as it was and it is in the UNFCCC, the convention. The second issue is that all Africans, all African countries, without talking about their development, economy, or something like that, need to have the same treatment when it comes to climate change, because climate change impact and consequences have no borders, have no limits. And the impact we are having, a third issue is that what we are suffering from are mainly historical GHG emissions. And we don't have any historical responsibility. Why should we accept this? The fourth, we don't want any such kind of issue to divide Africa, because this is dividing African countries, and Africa has always been strong in the process, in the climate negotiations, and has always been solid and speaking, working, dealing with one common voice and one common position. And this is dividing Africa, and this is not good for Africa, be it on the political level or climate level or even economic one.
So that doesn't mean that if Africa is recognized, probably there will be more direct access of funds, climate finance, or a little bit more of better flows.
Yeah, thank you for re-asking the part of the question. I forgot to respond to this specific part of the question. But the issue to access to finance, technology, or capacity building, there will be no change. What will be available will be accessible for the countries and project owners and project proponents that request funding will be the same. You have to follow procedures that are very complicated to access finance or anything. Now, the issue is not new finance or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the issue on the accessibility to finance technology will be the issue of eligibility. The convention says that all developing countries are eligible. If you refer to the governing instrument of the Green Climate Fund, and you read the different articles, one of the first articles says all developing countries are eligible to the Green Climate Fund finance and investment. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the issue. If now you start doing things, which means that you are going to make differences in the eligibility. Mm-hmm. But new, additional, it's always what we have been asking for. And in the negotiation, for example, take finance, the 100 billion that was a pledge for the period by 2020, we're still waiting if there will be possibility at least to have an assessment if this 100 billion has been provided or no for developing countries.
Kamar, issues of the finance flows has been an issue, but then there's been a critical issue. And I think also it was raised during the CCDA in terms of access to funds, climate funds has been also not so easy. I'm wondering whether there've been some African countries that have not been able, to access funds, especially through the GCF or different other mechanism. And probably with this eligibility recognized, if Africa is recognized for its special needs and circumstances, that probably it will make it a little bit easier for African nations to be able to access these particular funds.
You know, eligibility is something that need to be fixed definitely, and it's not something that we have to play with or game. Now, even with the eligibility, let me just tell you something that happened in the GCF, for example. 3 or 4 years ago, among the first projects that were not approved for funding for the first time, and because of eligibility or availability or funding, but because of really subjective reasons, an African country, which is from LDCs, it's not the country, but the project owner, which is from Africa, when submitting the project was not approved because of reasons that have nothing to do with eligibility. And this same project from an African country, they were obliged to resubmit it again to then get the funding. Just to show you that, and this the African country was an LDC and still an LDC country. Just to show you that it's not because you are LDC that you have more access. We all are going to be treated the same way to access funding or finance. The issue is just keep solid and keep unified, because this climate issue is something that is hurting all Africa and not part of it or a country and not another country. We are all at the same level of concerns with regard to climate change and partner consequences.
And I think for us to end this, there's a question a lady by the name Ruth asked, and she's wondering, like, we are on our 26th meeting, international meeting, basically, and is wondering, you know, why is it that seems things don't really seem to move? And she's wondering, is there any legality into this process? Is it the Kyoto Protocol and the Paris Agreement? Are they legally binding in terms of countries are bound? If you say you're going to, and you mentioned something, you said African countries that have signed have shown the goodwill. Can someone sue and say, like, we are being affected by the impacts of climate change? Because this is what Ruth is asking. Are these treaties legally binding in terms of countries are legally bound to act, like, for example, NDCs to act? If you say you submitted to say we're going to actually reduce our emission by 2030 by 2050 by this amount percentage, are you legally bound to do by, you know, those actions?
You know, I'm not a legal expert, because you need a legal expert. We need to go deeper on the different issues you're raising, in particular from legal perspective. But I can give you some negotiations perspective and technical perspective. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the bindingness of for example, between the Kyoto Protocol and the Paris Agreement, the Kyoto Protocol is a legally binding agreement and protocol, but the Paris Agreement is partially legally binding. Is legally binding on its procedures, but not on the pledges, because the pledges are nationally determined. One, there is a voluntary thing. Two, and the third thing you need to know is that under the Paris Agreement, there is conditionalities, which means if the funding, if the technology, and if the capacity building are not available, most of the huge parts of most of the NDCs that are submitted and pledged by developing countries, for example, African countries, are conditional to the availability and provision of means of implementation, which are finance, technology, and capacity building. And as far as I know, the availability, the accessibility to those means of implementation for the conditional part of the NDC is not something that is ensured or secured for the country. The ambition we want to have, reaching the targets of the NDCs, is something that depends on the availability and the conditions. And as far as this is the situation, the Paris Agreement is binding, for example, on legally binding on the transparency framework, how we can be MRV on the reporting, verification, etc. But on the pledges on the NDCs that are pledged but conditional to many criteria and things like that, depending on the country and its NDC.
Thank you so much, Kamar. Your final word.
My final word is Africa needs to be and continue to be Africa. Africa must stay one and not divided from any perspective and on any matter. And on climate change, the final thing I would say, sorry to say it, but facing climate change for Africa will be from Africans and by Africa. Let me just say one thing that the African countries need to understand also on the Paris Agreement. Now, in the Paris Agreement, the first mitigation target, temperature target, which is the temperature, which is 2 degrees or 1.5 degrees. If we take these 2 degrees or even 1.5 degrees, this 1.5 degrees is a target that we all work together not to allow the raise of temperature or increase of temperature by 2100 plus 2 degrees, maximum of 2 degrees. But if you analyze these 2 degrees, in these 2 degrees, and even according to IPCC reports and scientific findings, that in these 2 degrees, it contains the increase of temperature of historical emissions.
Yeah.
These 2 degrees starts in 1890. From 1890 pre-industrial era until now, the global warming is increasing and temperature is increasing. The last finding of the IPCC 2 weeks ago, it was that we are having an increase of temperature of 1.1 degree.
Yeah.
Now, in this 1.1, for example, now, or in the future for the 2 degrees, there is the emission, the historical GHG emissions.
Sure.
And everyone will say, yes, of course there is. But if you go back to the commitments of all countries in the Paris Agreement, we all are going to do the effort to reach the objective, the mitigation of objective of the Paris Agreement, 2 or 1.5 degrees, which means developing countries will also share the effort for the historical responsibilities.
Yeah.
And this is another mistake in the Paris Agreement.
Yeah.
If developing countries, in particular African ones, has to do efforts to reduce their emissions and to participate to the Paris Agreement mitigation goal or temperature goal, we need to do it for the GHGs we are responsible of. We cannot do it for the GHGs that we are not responsible of. But in that this current situation, all countries don't understand the implications of accepting 2 degrees and 1.5 degrees. If we accept 2 degrees, minus the historical responsibility, or 1.5 degrees minus the historical GHG emissions. This will be fair and equitable for everybody. Thank you.
Kamaru, thank you so, so much for finding time. I sincerely appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sophie, and wish you all the best.
And next week, we will aim to start the conversation here, looking into the Paris Agreement temperature goals and the nationally determined contributions vital in ensuring the world meets this particular goal. Remember, your questions are valuable, so please write to us via email info@africaclimateconversations.com, or you can even interact with us via social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or leave us a comment on our website, www.africaclimateconversations.com. I do hope to see you again next week on Tuesday. But until next week, kwaheri. My name is Sophie Bukwa.